What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, welcome back to the third hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show, right on 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe off today. Dr. Crane in studio, Brando behind the board, and I'm really looking forward to this, our next guest. He's one of the most genuine, caring, just coolest dude you'll ever run across. He's a dear friend to all of us. He's a mentor to a lot of us, and we're excited to have him on. Welcome to the show, our good friend Mike Keith. Mike, good afternoon. How are you, buddy?
Joe, it's great to be on the show with you.
How are things going up in Canucksville?
It's good. Really busy right now. We've got the basketball team practicing. So we've had a look at that group, which is really fascinating. The football team is certainly working out every day, and that's far different from when you and I were coming up because, in essence, they have OTAs now too.
Right.
They don't just lift weights and run. They have the ability to be in a position where they can do things with their coaches. And, you know, we have other teams doing things as well, but I think the thing that's big on the horizon for us is the change to Adidas, which comes July 2nd.
Oh, that's right.
So there's a lot of branding that is changing in all of our buildings. The equipment guys are running all over the place. Photo shoots for the different team calendars and such. It's really kind of wild because Tennessee has been Nike for just over a decade and now going back to Adidas. So a major transformation, not just with uniforms and shoes and the like, but also the buildings, because there's obviously been a lot of Nike around every one of our buildings, and with good reason.
That's interesting. I had no idea that. I knew it was happening. I didn't know it was happening July 2nd. So I always find that fascinating. You know, it's funny when you're talking about that, I'm thinking about the NIL world, and you and I share an affinity for great Tennessee Vols football teams. And one of my favorite teams was that 1985 Sugar Bowl team, right? And I always think about, Mike, what would it be like the next year in the NIL world? How many guys would be getting so much money off that 85 Tennessee football team in the NIL world? I mean, it's astronomical, guys, how much they would have gotten made, because people would have come after that football team and taken players away.
Yeah, and the ones that would have stayed would have been treated like kings. I mean, Dale Jones certainly would have driven a nicer car.
Right?
the legends that were there in terms of what they did in the performance, many of them were back, so – you're absolutely right. Yeah, they'd have all gotten a pay boost, or they'd have had the ability to go somewhere else and make a difference. That's for sure.
Well, I'm thinking like a Harry Galbraith, a Richard Cooper. Oh. I mean, the guys like linemen that don't get talked about enough that you and I know well. Rest in peace, Harry Galbraith, great athlete. But they'd have made – I mean, in that time, Mike, you know, they'd have made so much money back then.
Harry, you know, he's regarded, for your listeners who don't know, you know this, as arguably the greatest guard in Tennessee history, certainly the greatest guard in modern Tennessee history. And, you know, he played with Bruce Wilkerson, too, and Bruce
Yes.
Wilkerson only played in the NFL for however many years and played for the Raiders. So, yeah, I mean, the funny thing about that offensive line is they were kind of thought of as the no-names, and every one of them who participated on a regular basis, there were six of them that year that really played. Only one did not play in the NFL.
Holy, which one was that?
Todd Kirk.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
And he went. He's. I think he's still coaching, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's right. You know, that is just crazy. You know, and real quick, one more on that 85 team. Had he not gotten hurt, Tony Robinson wins the Heisman Trophy in 85.
He wins the Heisman Trophy. Yeah, he wins the Heisman Trophy. Yeah, the publicity was such, and his dramatic style of play. You know, the Alabama game in which he was hurt, Tennessee was about to really take control of that game when he got injured. And, you know, at that point, you're going to win a big game at Legion Field. And, you know, they don't tie Georgia Tech. They would have beaten Georgia Tech at home.
Right.
And I just think the build down the stretch, it would have been his. I will always believe that, too.
And then, you know, I know the Heisman Trophy would have been awarded before the Sugar Bowl, but to see him in that game, and I tell people all the time, if you want to go back and watch a butt-kicking of a team that's not supposed to win, that 86 Sugar Bowl, 85 season, the 86 Sugar Bowl, when Tennessee took down Miami, is one of the greatest butt-kickings of all time.
It's one of the greatest coaching performances that I've ever seen, too. Jimmy Johnson, one of the great all-time coaches in college and pro football, had a wonderful staff, had almost a pro football team in terms of what he had in that Miami club, and Tennessee's staff absolutely worked them over that night. We did a feature, and it's still up at the Tennessee Athletics YouTube channel. And we did a feature on that team, and it's amazing what the guys we interviewed said about December and how they prepared and what they knew. And honestly, Joe, the most amazing part of it to me is they were totally confident in winning that game, not because they were David against Goliath or anything like that. They just felt like they were better prepared. They thought they knew what was going to happen before it happened. And it played out according to script. You know, if Miami doesn't convert a fake punt early in the game, which they were prepared for and played wrong, then Miami might not have scored in that game.
That's right. That's good memory on that. It's funny you're bringing that up. If I can remember here, the four linebackers, Del Jones, Kelly Ziegler, Darren Miller, and Brian Kimbrough. Those four dudes. Yes.
Yes. And, you know, they were really something else. And you know, that group was thought to be down because they had lost Alvin Toles and Carl Zander to the NFL.
What a ride down that. Mike Keith is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, Mike, Saturday you're going to be in Clarksville, Nashville Cats. What are you doing up there? And by the way, I'm telling you, the place is great. Brand new arena. It was loud. That's a great football team. How did you get with this on Saturday?
Well, Greg Pogue called me.
There's one.
He invited me to be a part of it. First of all, anything involving Jeff Fisher, I'm in. You know, Jeff Fisher did more for me than I'll ever be able to do for him in a lifetime. And, you know, knowing his involvement, you know, that was a no-brainer for me. Greg and seeing what's happening up there, that's exciting. Well, speaking of Harry Galbraith, Clarksville, Tennessee, awfully good place to me throughout the course of my career. And so all of those things factored in. But the other thing too, Joe, is I did 3 years of arena football. And I love that game. And I'm so glad that game is back because I think it is really, really entertaining. And I'm not surprised it's doing well. I think they've got it scaled properly now. They kind of understand that they've got to put more into each franchise instead of trying to make it a mini NFL, which is what happened when I was involved with it. But I think it's awesome, and I'm glad it's back and that it's flourishing the way that it is.
Now, you grew up here in Nashville like I did. Isn't it crazy that I think Clarksville is now the fourth or biggest city in the state of Tennessee?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we're seeing this too, Joe, and this will kind of blow your mind. In terms of what we're getting for students at the University of Tennessee, I mean, Knox County's number one, right? No surprise. Anderson County is right at the top of the list, too. That's Oak Ridge. That's Clinton. That's a border county to Knox County. That's great. Then you go down the list. I mean, you're not out of the top two to where you get Davidson, Montgomery, Williamson, Rutherford. The seven contiguous counties are right there in the top 10 in producing students that are attending the University of Tennessee now. And so that whole area to me, you know, we saw it blow up together.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember running track meets at Montgomery Central when I was a freshman in high school. There wasn't a lot there, man. But all of it now to see it has really been special. And even 20 years ago when we took Titans training camp up there, we absolutely blew it out in terms of the number of people that we drew. So Clarksville's been on the rise for quite some time, and it's not surprising that they would be a great place for arena football.
You're naming off the counties. I thought you were going to go full Bill Hall on me with a weather update.
Mm-hmm. Muhlenberg.
Oh, that's
Alan
great.
Alan Barron. What was it? Alan Barron, Butler. He would go through a ball. I was always waiting for Franklin City School.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You had to get the scroll at the bottom, like, yes. But see, all you rich kids at your private school, you had the scroll. You had your scroll at the bottom. Us guys at McGavick, we had the big screen, so we felt lucky.
Hey, listen, I didn't get to private school until high school. I went to public school for 10 years, so. Yeah, I got you there taking your private school shot. I appreciate it.
Don't worry. He does to me all the time, Mike, going to follow Ryan. It happens.
Hey, if you can't love the Battleground Academy Wildcats, that's okay. That's
yeah,
all right.
It happens. Mike Keith's on the line with us here. Mike, when it comes to just your transition from the Tennessee Titans to now the Tennessee Vols, now that you have a full offseason to kind of get everything under your belt, how has that adjustment been for you going forward?
It's really interesting from the standpoint that basketball creates this different dynamic that I wasn't used to, because with basketball, not only do you play multiple times a week, but you're also playing while football is still going on. So you've got your football. The thing was, when I was in the NFL, you played a game on Sunday, and then you got ready for a game the next Sunday. And you can do that a little bit in September and October. But when you get to November, it's like, okay, we're going to play a football game on Saturday. And then we're going to play basketball on Monday. And we're going to play again on Wednesday. You know, and then we're going to turn around and play on Saturday. And we're going to travel to Kentucky. So we're leaving on Friday. And, oh, by the way, we come back and we play basketball again Saturday afternoon. I love the broadcast part of it. I love the busy part of it. I got no problem with showing up to call games. I would call a game every day if I possibly could. The games are, you know, a lot of broadcasters have said over the years that in the NFL, people say Monday through Saturday is what you get paid for. Sunday is free. And that's how it feels, you know, about calling games. But the prep is crazy, because you're doing two very different kinds of prep, and the prep for college football is more complicated, in my opinion, than it is for pro football. So balancing the time and getting used to things starting to overlap in this consistent way, that has been a real learning experience. And, you know, doing basketball on radio for the first time in 33 years, that was a bit of a trick too.
Yeah, I'm sure your, I guess, spotter charts, along with just your charts in general, getting those little nitty-gritty facts about a player, it gets pretty vast.
It does, you know, because, like, if it's an SEC game in football, well, you get a big release, and, you know, you see SEC Network, and it's like, we're playing Vanderbilt. Well, I know who Diego Pavia is, and I know who – you know, all of the different members of the coaching staff are, and I know some history and things like that. When you're playing teams from the Gulf South or whomever in basketball, whatever conference it is, because there's so many more Division I schools, you can't get quite as much information. And so you're trying to dig for that as well. Being comfortable with being prepared enough, that was my biggest fear in all, well, I have a lot of fears, but that was the biggest one, because when we're playing Georgia or Alabama, I can know something about them. I'll be okay. But when you're playing, you know, somebody, a directional school, West Florida or somebody like that, then it's harder to get information. But, you know, the challenge of it was so much fun, and it was so rewarding to get to work with so many different people and get to know so many different people.
Yeah, and kind of adding on to that, when you look at it from a football perspective, in the bowl game, the Music City Bowl, a place that, you, like you said, Sundays was your office for the most part. When you go back to that now and saying that, you know, Tennessee versus Illinois, what was that feeling like for you to go back to a place where you spent majority of your professional career and then now you're with Tennessee?
It was awful. I mean, it was really, you know, I can tell you now it was really, really hard. That was, you know, and they ended up giving us the old booth. And it was done out of courtesy to me, which I appreciated. But there was a big part of me that was wishing that we would have just gotten – we were the visitors. So the visitors' booth would have been fine with me. To walk in and to feel all of the memories and to understand all of the people who had been in there over the years that had meant so much to my life, not just broadcasting, but had, you know, some of my very closest friends, we'd been there together with births. We'd been there together with deaths. We'd seen marriage and divorces. I mean, these are the sorts of things. I mean, it's real life. And, you know, I didn't say anything. Nobody asked me the question, thank goodness, at the time. But I went over there the day before the game and just sat there and worked. And they were kind enough to let me in to just do some work because I needed to kind of feel that for a minute, or I'm not sure I could have functioned during the game. It was that emotional.
It's quite interesting. We're talking to Mike Keith here on the Chasing Big Joe show. Talk about, you know, we talked about earlier about the 85 team, how those guys carried through their careers at Tennessee and everything. Now it's, you know, with you, you know, you have a whole new, 50, 60 guys maybe coming in this fall. I mean, the transition, and I'm not saying, you know, you're not like you're breaking rocks in the back of a parking lot. I mean, it's just, but still, it's changing, it's evolving, and you got a whole new roster. So when I tell people, like, hey, there's a lot of motivation for the team last year that lost, a lot of those guys are gone. That's a whole new world for an announcer, I think.
It is. Yeah, 46 of our 105 players are new.
Ooh.
And so you're putting – you know, the funny thing in preparing for, like, the NFL, if we played Buffalo in 2022 and then we were going to play them again in 2023 – I would have to update my charts and I would have to, you know, add some rookies and add a big free agent or two, you know, in terms of notes. But Joe, 75% of it, 80% of it stayed the same. I'm still, the majority of my notes are about Josh Allen and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I was updating our Tennessee notes the other day, and we have the majority of our production back on offense, which is totally different than a year ago. But there's still so many changes. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that, you know, you're into this world where you've got all-out free agency every single year. And what it reminds me of is it reminds me of when I got to the Oilers in 98. We were only 4 years into free agency and the salary cap.
Right.
And so there was still all of this mystery about it. There were still teams trying to come up with deals to circumvent things. It still had a Wild West feel. And that's what this feels like. The only difference is everybody's a free agent.
Right.
Everybody is a free agent every single year. And so your concentration, and I saw this happening with the Tennessee basketball team in real time. You're playing in the SEC tournament. You're playing in the NCAA tournament. First round and second round, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. People were working on next year's roster starting in December.
Wow.
Trying to anticipate, not necessarily specific players, Joe, but what they were trying to do was anticipate value due to metrics that they had figured out. It's like the Wagler kid from Illinois, the really great freshman.
Right.
I mean, he was a three-star. So he came in making, I mean, very reasonable money. Now, he's going to go to the NBA. But, I mean, in terms of the metrics that he put up for a Final Four team for Illinois, his number would have gone up 10 to 15 times, something crazy,
Yeah. Based
on what his production was. And then some people, they think they're going to hit the market and make a lot of money, and their number doesn't project the same way. So it's a, you know, there were guys that they walked in and you know, the team said, hey, we'll pay you X, and this is going to be your role. And those guys said, I'm worth more than that, went out on the open market. Some of them got it. Some of them didn't. Some of them called back and said, can I have the deal and come back? And the deal wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's completely different. Before I let you go, I bring you up all the time, Mike, when I go talk to high school journalism groups, even college journalism groups, because of something you told me one time. I asked you one time when you were still here, you were doing the PA for BGA, right? How long did you do that?
4 years. Yeah, I loved it.
And I said, why did you do that? And you told me, you said, I always want to be grounded to what got me in this business. Yeah. And I'm thinking, that's all. And I tell people, I'm like, go find what grounds you that got you into. That's why I love high school. You and I both love high school football.
I do.
Because that's what got us in. And I tell, whether it's lacrosse, football, basketball, I don't care. But in your level, be grounded to something. I thought that was one of the most impactful things anybody's ever told me. Because here you are, Mike Keith, yet on Friday nights, you were giving back because you want to be grounded to what got you started. I've always found that beautiful, Mike.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Let me say one thing first. How I ended up doing the PA at BGA, my wife came home from a parents' meeting that I couldn't go to because I was doing a show. Our son was a freshman on the team. And every freshman parent had to volunteer for something. And they told her at this meeting that I wasn't able to attend, that if I would do the PA, that she would never be asked to do anything. So my wife threw me completely under the bus.
Oh, that's great. But it was so great when you talked about this. Yeah.
Well, Jim Wyatt told the story, too, because we were playing Father Ryan, and Jimmy was there. And The Father Ryan students had a chat going back and forth when they were playing us. They're like, this guy doing the Mike Keith impersonation on the PA is terrible. This guy is awful. But the truth is, I did love it. I still do love it. The high school thing is just a big deal for me because I just think it is the realest thing that is done in sports today. And you know, how it affects everybody with mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, next door neighbors, people you go to church with, people in the band, cheerleaders, you know, pep club, everybody can be into it. And I think that's what's really special about it. And it's really special in our state. I appreciate you saying that, but that's just a really honest sentiment that from my standpoint, I have a good time wherever I go, man. I mean, people were saying, oh, you don't want to go to Starkville, Mississippi? Why not?
Yeah, right.
I went to Starkville, Mississippi twice this year in football and basketball. And, I mean, it's a great atmosphere. All the places that I've gotten to be, I've always been really thankful for because this is what I wanted to do. And if you'd have told me I'd have gotten to do it, I probably wouldn't have believed you. So I'm very thankful about that. And still in – the last Titans game I called was a meaningless game, and we played lousy. And it was still fun to be there and fun to be a part of it. And, you know, the tennis wins are great. The losses aren't as great. But the ability to see a game at Bryant-Denny Stadium is a special thing. And I think you've got to be thankful for it if you're lucky enough to get to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mike, to add on to the high school portion of that comment there, you know, like Joe has mentioned before, it keeps you grounded. I think I was a sophomore in college. I went to visit my cousin up in Knoxville, and I was listening to the local radio, and I think they were celebrating like their 50th anniversary or 70th anniversary of like the longest standing high school sports show. And I was, I think, at Publix or something, and I just turned on the radio and I heard your voice, and I guess you were a part of it. I'm not exactly sure what station it was. Maybe you can recall it, but It made me grow a better appreciation, not just for you specifically, but I've always respected you in the highest degree, but just in general, the aspect of high school sports, because it is the purest form of sport at its lowest level.
Yeah, you're nice to say that. Thank you. I mean, it's always an honor to be part of that, and I know Joe's worked with the TSSAA too, and what a remarkable job the people top to bottom at the TSSAA do. And listen, a lot of it's thankless, you know. You got coaches and administrators and media and everybody else, parents, you know, always got different viewpoints, and that's okay. I mean, they should, because they've got a stake in it. But to balance it all out and to make sure there are as many opportunities as there can be for athletes, and to make sure that it's done as fairly and as first class and administrated as well as it is, it's a blessing for us to have those people who care so much. I'm sure they do in Kentucky. I'm sure they do in Alabama and Mississippi too. I just don't know them. But I do know, as Joe does, a lot of the TSSAA people, and they are remarkable human beings. They really, really are. They make it as good as they possibly can.
Amen with that. Mike, thank you. We could talk to you another 5 hours. Thank you. I know you're busy, man. Thank you. We will see you Saturday in Clarksville for the Cats game, man. Always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.